It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everybody. We begin today with the only time I can remember that the big news about the Nobel Peace Prize is who didn't win it. Pakistani teenager Malala Yousafzai, who was shot in the head and neck last year for campaigning for girls' education. The group that did, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, the UN agency overseeing the destruction of serious chemical weapons. Imagine having to choose. Let's talk about the choice with Christiane Amanpour, global affairs anchor for ABC News and host of CNN's nightly international global affairs program. And she's hosting a special about Malala called The Bravest Girl in the World on CNN Sunday night at 7. Hi, Christiane. Thanks for coming on today. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's great to be with you again, Brian.
You know, I really can't remember anything like the anticipation surrounding the prize for Malala. So many articles with headlines like Malala favored to win Nobel Peace Prize. I saw Andrea Mitchell sign off her show on MSNBC yesterday saying, "We'll be back tomorrow to see if Malala wins the Nobel Peace Prize." How unusual is this in your experience?
You know, Brian, look, we live in the world of very raised expectations. And as you know, and actually I didn't know until now, there is no formal list of who are the nominees. It's all what people might think and who they wish and this and that. So there was never any list on which she was formally nominated or named. But you're absolutely right. Because of what she did, which frankly, to my mind, is put her life on the line for peace through education, and at that very young age to continue to speak so boldly about how she will, you know, keep putting her life on the line for the right of girls to have education, people really put a lot of hope in her for that Nobel Peace Prize. And I spoke to her on stage at the 92nd Street Y last night, and this will be also, as you mentioned, a special on CNN on Sunday at 7. And she said to me that, you know, I'm too young for this. You know, I know that people have been talking about it, but maybe one day when I can be, you know, education minister or put a budget together or send girls to school or open schools or be a teacher myself, maybe then one day I might deserve this.
But that's a very mature answer, isn't it, for a 15-year-old?
I think it's very, very mature. She just turned 16. She spent her 16th birthday at the UN. And I personally think she's a prodigy. Honestly, Brian, I have spoken to many, many young people here and around the world, people even older than her, who have not been as dramatically articulate as she is and so focused and so dedicated. Obviously, this girl is surrounded by a whirlwind of PR and all of that right now. She's got a book out, I Am Malala, and it's wonderful. And you wonder when you read it, wow, did this 15-year-old girl really say all that? And she did. She did it with a colleague, a journalist, Christina Lamb, who's covered that region for a long time. But it is her voice, and I could see that when I interviewed her along with her incredible father on stage last night. I mean, it's genuinely amazing because for a father to support his daughter so much and so prominently in that part of the world where I have to say, when you have a girl, it's cause for grief rather than celebration, it's a remarkable thing.
So the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons,
yes.
Another very worthy cause.
Indeed. You know, the UN has, rather the Nobel has a habit of sort of bouncing between organizations and individuals. I think everybody hoped that this young, inspirational girl who had actually put her life on the line for peace and totally met the Nobel criteria would have been an individual to have won and you know, to be inspirational. The Nobel has several times awarded very worthy groups, like last year it was the European Union for their commitment to peace. This year it's yet another organization, which actually is doing very, very difficult work right now in Syria, disarming and trying to account for Bashar Assad's massive stockpile of chemical weapons. And yes, their members are on the ground in Damascus and elsewhere, and they have been at risk. There have been pot shots taken at them before the current agreement, but nonetheless, it's dangerous work. I think what's rather incredible is that Nobel Committee has gone out of its way to say that this isn't for their work in Syria. I don't understand why they're saying that, but I think they're all in a Twitter, so to speak, because there's been a lot of social media reaction to who got the prize.
I guess so. I missed that part where they said this isn't about their work in Syria.
That's what I saw tweeted, and I asked if that was a formal reaction from them, and apparently it is.
I'll have to look more into that.
Up until now, in the field of disarming chemical weapons, and they've been obviously doing it for a long time. And it must be said at this point that this is a long and arduous process. Even the United States, which voluntarily decided to give up and destroy, are still not finished doing it. Even Libya, under Gaddafi, after the Iraq War, you know, in 2003, said, you know, we're going to give up. They haven't even got halfway through there. So it is a very, very, very long process, and these people do heroic work trying to disarm some of the, you know, worst weapons known to mankind.
You talked about the juxtaposition between an individual winning the prize and an organization winning the prize. I think there's another one, too, that is evident here that regards the dual nature of the Peace Prize's history, I think. It goes to campaigners for human rights and freedom, like Nelson Mandela, like Amnesty International, like Malala would have been. And it goes to people who work literally for peace, like Jimmy Carter, like Jody Williams for her anti-landmines campaign, and in this case, a group literally dismantling chemical weapons. So it's kind of a split personality prize in that respect, don't you think?
Sort of, but I'm not fully buying it, because people like Mandela created peace, not just civil rights, but because he was committed not to revenge and retribution after the end of apartheid, he contributed to peace in his country and brought peace to his country. There were people who did not want a peaceful end to apartheid. They wanted to carry on the fight to the very end, and he had to be very, very, you know, stern about how we were actually going to do this in a peaceful way and include everybody. I think Aung San Suu Kyi, it was the same. She contributed to peace through her campaign for democracy and the rights of everyone to be heard in Burma. I think Malala has done the same. I believe, and I think the UN statistics and world statistics will bear me out, that peace is more likely when there's full education. And that's what she put her life on the line for, peace through education. Each one of these awardees does what they do for peace, and peace is not just out of a vacuum. Peace comes through democracy, civil rights, education. You know, what Jimmy Carter and Jody Williams and all the others did it too, but you know, they brought peace, for instance, in Carter's case, between Egypt and Israel through those negotiations. So it is all about peace, in my view.
Looking at the CNN website, you're right. It says the chemical weapons group did not receive the prize primarily because of its work in Syria. The committee chairman said, quote, it's because of its longstanding efforts to eliminate chemical weapons and that we are now about to reach the goal and do away with a whole category of weapons of mass destruction. That would be a great event in history if we can achieve that, unquote. So I guess it highlights Syria, but he's being very explicit that there's a whole history, a whole body of work here.
Exactly. I would like to say, since we cover Syria so much, that obviously if this happens and it looks like it's underway, it would be a game changer if it sets a precedent, and that therefore other nations would be willing to follow this model and have an agreement to give up and destroy and dismantle their chemical weapons. If it doesn't, and if there's any obfuscation, and if Syria tries to hide things or move them to borders or take them places where, you know, they can't be monitored, that would be a very bad thing. But I would also like to say that I don't believe that this current deal has any impact on the raging civil war, where people by their thousands are still being slaughtered.
Well, that's one of the ironies of the agreement, isn't it, to maybe end the use of a kind of weapon that hasn't been used very much, but distracting attention thereby from the 100,000 deaths that have occurred through conventional means.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think it's been a massive failure of global diplomacy and geopolitical, activity to allow this massive vacuum, this massive slaughterhouse in Syria to have continued since, you know, 2011. After all, it was just people coming out onto the streets asking for basic freedom and reform. And the way the regime reacted brought it to where we are today. I think it's something, according to the UN, like 120,000 people dead, and they used chemical weapons. I'm delighted that the OPCW is out there trying to make sure this doesn't happen again, but they did. And we need to be, you know, really cognizant of the fact that, you know, this is going to be a game changer if it works, and I really hope it does. I really, really hope it does, and everybody's behind the disarming of chemical weapons. But there must also be bold and brave, you know, political action to make sure that these kinds of wars don't spin out of control and then, you know, be the kinds of vacuums that then invite in the worst kind of actors, as has happened in Syria, the, you know, Al-Qaeda groups and all the others.
Have you given any thought, Christian, to whether the Nobel Peace Prize has had an impact in recent times, in your opinion, other than all the media talking about it on one Friday every October?
I think it does because, you know, we all remember who won. And for generations, we will always be able to look to those names, those organizations, those individuals who won and remember why they won. You know, it's funny, a Nobel follows you throughout your life and it promotes the winner and makes the winner and the concept of peace something that will always remain in the public conscience and consciousness. And I actually think that is a good thing. We all remember, you know, the great names who won. And, you know, if it's once a year, twice a year, you know, several times a year, to be able to, you know, sort of reflect on what these people, what these organizations have achieved and why, it's a good thing. And then just, you know, there's a ripple effect. You know, you put a stone into water and it ripples and ripples and ripples. And the effect is, I think, quite long-lasting and long-reaching.
So before you go, I think a lot of Americans don't have a sense of the international reach of CNN. Mm. We see it here, but I've seen CNN in Beijing, in Costa Rica, and, you know, CNN International really gets out. Do you think your special about Malala on Sunday night will be seen in Pakistan?
Oh, yes, it will, because I will put it on my program on CNN International. That'll be on Monday. And to any of your listeners who want to watch CNN International, it's on Time Warner Cable here in New York and coast to coast and online at amanpour.com. And it's a great channel as well. I think the global heft of CNN USA and CNN International is unrivaled. And it is amazing. So, yes, most definitely this program will be seen in Pakistan.
And it's some hours the same programming as U.S. CNN, some hours different programming, CNN International. And Christian Amanpour is global affairs anchor for ABC News and host of CNN's nightly International Global Affairs program. And the special about Malala called The Bravest Girl in the World will be Sunday night at 7 Eastern here in the U.N. in the U.S. on CNN. Christian Amanpour, thank you so much.
Brian, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.